Treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their Golden Glow body set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set provides spa-level results at home. Both sets come in giftable boxes with savings up to $48 and free shipping for a limited time. For 10% off your first order site-wide, go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM.
Like, why am I going to continue to make an effort when you constantly say snide things behind my back?
I feel poor Candace. You know, I have been a victim of that gangbanging. When you all, you know, gang up on a person to break them and make them submit, it's pathetic, and it looks cruel.
I'm not going to engage you when you have an audience.
You have an audience too.
Is this a dinner for Ashley or a Candace attack? Because if it's that,
dinner for Ashley,
then let's talk about Ashley.
Can somebody pass the damn alcohol? Where is it?
All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Everything Iconic with me, Danny Pellegrino. We're going to be talking Potomac, and I wanted to have someone join me this week. And so we have Mani from Mixing with Mani. She's on the line. Mani, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fantastic, and I'm so glad we're sort of meeting over the phone, but I feel like we're internet buddies.
Yeah, it's like cosmic. It was supposed to happen. So, I mean, in this quarantine, corona time, this is how we're all meeting. We're all becoming BFFs over the phone.
Right. And I'm so excited to talk about Potomac. I'm loving Potomac. But before we dive into that, I just kind of want to know a little bit about your history with the Housewives. I know you have a podcast called Mixing with Mani. But tell me, like, what do you watch all the franchises? Where are you standing with Bravo currently?
Yeah, I watch everything a long time ago. I invented the mantra of I give everything Bravo a try once, right? Mm-hmm. Because so many of their things have steered me in the right direction and have caused obsessions.
But wait, can I stop you for a second and just ask, when you say you give everything one chance, like, do you give a full episode? Do you give 5 minutes?
I give a full episode to a few episodes. I do understand that first seasons are typically rough. Mm-hmm. So I've always tried to give it some time to air out and breathe. And it's even come with some disappointment because they don't always come back. Like, I'm a big fan of the one seasoners even mm-hmm. as well, like Timber Creek Lodge, like Opry Ski, mm-hmm. the Jersey Belle, the Long Island Princesses or Princesses of Long Island and Secrets and Wives. Like, I will give all the girls a try. Mm-hmm. So I definitely watch all the Housewives. I am such a major Housewives fan because it's just there's so many characters to get right. involved with, and I really enjoy that. So I watch every single city. I cover every city on my show as much as in me lie, like as I can, you know, get it. That's why the episodes are so thick, is what I call them. They're right. long and thick because there's just so
like we
many
like
things. There's just so many of them, especially even right now. So, I mean, it's a good problem to have. So
I know, you know, I was just thinking about it. It's going to dry up pretty soon because Beverly Hills in New York will be ending. But mm-hmm. it does feel a lot. And I only cover three of the shows. The three Housewives that are airing, and it's like my buddies watch what crap ends. It's like they're covering every show, and it just must be, it's a lot. It's a lot of work.
It is a lot. I try to do some bonus episodes on shows that aren't, you know, as mainstream, because I really do watch them all. And I'll even try to cut and paste some things and maybe pre-record something. Like, I just covered Shaws of Sunset with my girl Stephanie, and I had to add it because, I mean, I needed to talk about it.
Right. So wait, can we talk about it for a minute too? Because I need to get off my chest too. What did you think of that reunion, the Zoom?
Jesus, Lord, help me. I was just like,
Father God, honestly,
like, favorite moment, Jesus, fix it. I was so stressed. It was amazing to me that Andy was tweeting that they had to cut out a lot of things because of how mean it was. And I was like, if this is what survived, I don't know. I don't know how we film another season after this. So, and I think that's happening a lot right now on Bravo, but Shaz was it was a lot to behold. I had to break it up.
Oh, this season, I just thought it was so terrible. Like, it was just so negative, so nasty. And yeah, Andy Cohen said that there were things in the reunion that were even worse than what aired. I'm like, how? And then even at the end of that reunion, there was like a catch up. Like, they filmed Reza and MJ talking in like the park or whatever over the phone. And it was clear they were trying to end it on a good note. Like, that's, they wanted the audience to see like an upswing, but they couldn't even really give us that. Like, that phone call was so sad at the end. It just bummed me out. The whole thing bummed me out.
That's hard. I felt very strongly, like, I don't know, even if they were my friend of many decades and that's what we have between those two, I don't know. We're talking about, you know, my reproductivity and you possibly someone destroying my marriage. That seems just like a lot to get over. We might want to go ahead and table it. We could just go ahead and put it away.
Right. None of them, I don't think they like each other at all anymore. And we're just watching them
film a show about friends.
It's too much. But a lot of these Bravo shows, I think you're right. It's like, I'm happy if we start going through some. I don't know if I was saying this on the podcast or what, but it's like, I want them to make room for new shows, because I too like the new shows when they come on. And I think it's okay if we get rid of some shows that have been around for 13 years. Like, I'm okay with, I don't know, maybe Orange County taking a little breather.
Oh, yeah, I'm ready to send it up the river, to be honest. OC has been a pain in my side. I just feel like all the start and stops with their filming definitely feels like the universe is trying to tell them something, that maybe they need to slow it down, figure something else out. But listen, I've always been like, there are so many states, and there are so many, the same way people didn't know where Potomac is, but I always knew what Potomac was, being from the area, and I always knew that it was literally one of the richest cities in America by many reports. So it wasn't a shock to me, but the same way it's a surprise to a lot of people that this, you know, city is, has this, you know, wealth and these characters and these fun, crazy things. I'm like, we could be just scouting out other cities. Like, we really can go ahead and make some OGs retire a little bit and rotate them out, and we could have some other things going on.
And I think that Bravo has always done such a great job of creating stars out of these people. And like you said, no one really knew a whole lot about Potomac. And then we get Karen Huger out of it. You know, it's like, we need to find other women and not just trying to hold on to the women that we love. And I always, I always used to say, like, I don't want Ramona Singer to go anywhere. And now I'm even feeling like, no, I'm ready for her to go somewhere, like, off the TV. You know, let's find the next generation of these people.
Yes. I often think that the only problem that I have with OGs, like the OG mentality, is that when Bravo inevitably tries to create a bigger space where they're more involved with younger crowds or different crowds, and I mean, obviously for ad dollars and things like that, that's when OGs, they'll start to get desperate. And we tend to see behavior from like a Ramona, a Teresa, a Nene, even Vicky, like a Kyle, a Vicky, an LVP, a Barry. The things we love about them, we're not seeing. And that's mainly because they're trying very hard to keep their spot, because we've created this safe space, like this nest for them, that it could be them. We'll prioritize them over everything. But that doesn't always translate when you are trying to get younger viewerships and younger demos. And I always look at the demos and I'm like, I'm telling you, a 19-year-old person that you want to watch New York is going to see A, their mothers getting drunk and crazy. And while that's fine, Ramona coming after someone, for instance, for like their mental health, that's not cute to Gen Z. They are not that way. It's not a stigma to them. They're very deeply into the mental health. I mean, millennials are. So even like Leah's generation. So it seems like you're going to get a lot of desperation to come out when you have OGs who feel threatened for that spot. So I think that it's time that we kind of retire the idea that you can be an OG, but if we tell women like they are going to get a heart out or something after 5 or 6 seasons, and we're going to make room for new, and we're going to constantly refresh, that's new stories, that's new kids to learn. Like, I'm loving learning about Giselle's daughters and how they feel about her getting back together with their dad. That is new. I want new families, new dynamics. I love it.
The other thing that I think happens on these shows quite often is that when they're first cast, they're doing basically a chemistry test, right? Like, they go through all sort of casting submissions. They find people who either have an organic connection, or they bring people in that feel right with the group. And when people start leaving, and when these shows get towards, you know, season 7, 8, 9, It's like they're just bringing people in, and it throws the whole chemistry off because they're not casting the show fresh. They're just trying to fit someone into what they already have. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yes. No, it totally makes sense. It's like that one seat has a revolving door, and it doesn't always work. It, of course, it's not going to work the first season.
Right, and we're almost lucky when it does work. Like, when it does, it's like, that's a blessing. But imagine, like, Friends or, I don't know, any sitcom where you get rid of Ross and you just try to throw in some new person. It like, throws off the whole balance, and people don't like it. I don't know.
The whole franchise is wonky after that.
Yeah. We got to talk about Potomac. So you're living near the Potomac women, correct?
Yes, I was born and raised in the D.C. area. Potomac is in Montgomery County, which is where I was born. My parents are from D.C., and it's really regulated as the DMV is what we call it, D.C., Maryland, Virginia. That's why they all live in one of the three. It's mainly, it's like whatever you can get to on the Beltway. So it's Northern Virginia, so not like the whole state, but most people work in the government, and which is like all government agencies are in DC or Maryland or even Virginia, but mainly in DC, and they all live in some kind of suburban area of like Maryland and Virginia. If you're truly like native to the area, you will eventually move out of DC. It's just inevitable. So I grew up there my entire life. My parents are from there. I moved to Dallas briefly when I was a kid, but in middle school, and then we moved right back because there's just no place like home for us.
Right.
I currently live now in Baltimore. My mom just moved to Baltimore because of the water. She just wanted to be close to the water, but also get city vibes. So before we were in D.C., and it was like all city, but she really wanted like that water aesthetic and stuff, especially during this time. Yeah. It's nice to have some scenic views. So now I'm closer to Robin, I'll say.
I'm so jealous. I don't have a yard or anything here. I know it's sunny California, but it's like we have no outdoor space. But wait, so what's the vibe? What's the vibe of like the city, and do they like the Housewives of Potomac, or do they, you know, because sometimes you hear in other cities, it's like restaurants don't want them to film there or something like that. What's the vibe?
Yeah, so I actually worked when Potomac was first happening. I worked for a restaurant that they told me that Bravo like filmed releases and stuff for their restaurant, and it was going to be a show. And I was like, wait, what? And at first, it was not a housewife show at all. It was
like a charity thing.
Yeah, so for something or something totally different, like elegance or etiquette or something like that. And they also, I know they wanted to do the area around where Candace lived. That area, that county is called PG County, and it's one of the largest Black populations of like with wealth in all of America. It's very, very opulent and very predominantly Black. But also, there's a lot of both. There's some, you know, a lot of wealth and then a lot of not wealth. So there was something that in the works for that, but I guess that didn't work out. So when I was there, they were like, you know, Bravo will be filming at the restaurant that's in Georgetown in DC. And it's the scene with Katie and her at the time boyfriend in the season one. And that they're talking, I think her kid is there, and they're talking about their kids. And that is at my restaurant. And I was like, I need to work there that day, and they explicitly told me no.
And you were a Bravo fan already at that point.
Oh, well, of course. Yeah. I was like, are you crazy? You mean to tell me there is a housewife coming to my... I thought it was a sign that I'm going to be on a housewife one day. I was like, obviously. Because what are the chances? There's 50 states. What are the odds that it's going to come to me? So I was very excited about that, and it was not well received. They couldn't do it at the place that they wanted to, which is the restaurant also has a space in Potomac, Maryland. There's not a lot of things happening in Potomac. It's a very sleepy city. It's pretty much all just big houses. And
I'm so fascinated by all of this layout of the city. I feel like I'm learning so much about I like really feel like I'm learning.
There's nothing really to do there. I mean, there's some great restaurants, but like, and what they do is like they'll build walkable things around those restaurants, but it's pretty much everything is drivable destinations. So they didn't get to film there, and that's unfortunate. But a lot of restaurants and stuff weren't too keen on it before, but they seem to really be loving it now, because all the places that they go now, I'm like, this is a spot. A nice place. This is a moment.
You know, it's going to be interesting after the pandemic, or at least when things open up more, because I don't know how much filming we're going to be doing in restaurants. You know, even I was talking to a friend about Vanderpump Rules. It's like, how does that show go on? I mean, it'll definitely come back, I believe, but it's like the whole show is set in a restaurant, and like, I don't know when restaurants are going to be opening to large capacity. Like, it might be able to film there with like no one else in there.
Right.
But it's just going to look different. Okay, Mani.
Especially as a restaurant staff. Wow.
Right. We got to talk about the tagline. So this was the first week with the taglines. And I just got to say that Robin's tagline, like, I had to rewind it. Her tagline is, I live in a house of ballers, but I never get played. But the first time I heard it, I thought she said, but I never get laid. Because
that could go with her
too.
Season one.
Right. That's true, too. But that was my favorite. What do you think? What do you make of the taglines? I don't even have them all in front of me, but I like when we get to see them for the first time. It used to bug me when they didn't show them in the first episode. You know, they wouldn't do the taglines for the premiere. Mm-hmm. But now I like it. Gives us something like look forward to for episode two.
Yeah, I like it because it's like, well, at first I forget that we're supposed to have taglines. So like we'll read about them on Instagram and then I won't see them in action. Mm-hmm. And I'll be like, oh, when we were going to get these. So I actually think Potomac's taglines are leaps and bounds above a lot of other franchises, at least this season. I thought they actually did a fantastic job with only a few of them kind of like not really hitting it for me. And that was mainly Ashley Darby's because I didn't get it at first, and I tried to.
What was hers? I should
have
that.
She just had a baby, and that's the only crap she takes, or something like that. Yeah. And I don't know. I was an English major in college, so it was like, I think we're missing a few prepositions to like in between that would make me know explicitly that the crap you're taking comes from the baby, and that your baby is crap. Because, I mean, obviously you wouldn't say that, but to say like, my new baby is the only crap I take. I'm like, well, hold on. We just need to rearrange some words.
Also, you're totally right. But also, all of Ashley's stuff, like between the shitting and the tear in the anus, it's just like a lot of body stuff. And I get it. You know, she's just had a baby. But it's a lot.
It's a lot. Yeah.
It's a lot of blue humor, as they say, when you go blue. Or what is the...
yes.
Okay, so the episode opens with Karen and her trainer, Georgie, who's really cute. And Ray comes in the living room. And this relationship between Karen and Ray is making me so sad. Like, I feel so bad for Karen. He couldn't even say, I love you. She just wanted him to say, I love you, baby. And he wouldn't say it. She's like, give me three words. And his three words were, okay, okay, okay. It broke my heart.
Yeah. What I will say is,
you're like, it didn't break mine.
I don't relish in the pain of any of these women, but I do really much appreciate Potomac being so incredibly open to mm-hmm. the point where it almost like slaps you in the face. Like to see mm-hmm. them talk so much about their family life and what is really going on deeply, like their individual filming scenes, something actually happens. Like there's
not like
real
Beverly
things
Hills.
Happening. Not at all. Like, we're actually hearing. I mean, how vulnerable must you be to tell, you know, in the very first scene of the opening premiere episode, so arguably the mm-hmm. most watched episode of the season, to say that your husband and you're actually worried that you might not make it, but you're going to, like, fight for your man and tell that to Monique. I was like, wow, wait a minute.
Right. You know, Karen's become my favorite housewife across any franchise. Like, I'm so into her right now. Like, I find everything. Yeah. Yeah. And I've also been really loving Dorit lately, but it's been a hard shift with Dorit. I didn't like her for a long time. And now this season, I'm really in love with her. But Karen Huger, she's like right at the top of my list now. And I just, who's your favorite? Do you have a fave?
I don't have a favorite. I mean, for the show purpose, I try to watch all of them objectively as hard as it may be.
No, I don't.
I try to at least see things because I like to stick it to personally. I have feelings about all of them, but on the show, I have people. I mean, I kind of just go with what's happening in front of me. But Potomac would be difficult regardless because I actually think they all bring something so important to the show. Mm-hmm. I know Candace is probably my least favorite liked one. Mm-hmm. Not my least favorite, but I don't like her the most.
Right. Yeah. This cast is just really balanced in general.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think mine would be between Karen and Giselle. It would be between, and I know that's like the two opposites, but I actually love both of them.
No, but
so
you know
much.
What? I love their scenes. Like a duo scene between the two of them is like my favorite thing. Like I just want
she
those
saved
two.
The woman when she walked through the house at the door. Honey.
Wasn't that the best? Was that?
I can't get over it.
Also, the mime scene with them together, with the mime in the background. I mean, they've just given us so much. I also really love, what was it? They were when they were on their cast trip, and Karen wore the tennis shoes. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh yes! Oh my gosh! Yeah.
And Giselle said something like, "Do you go to CVS and get those or something?" It was just so funny.
Oh, when they're fighting in like the resort last year in season four, they were like fighting in the middle in the lobby of the resort, and it just couldn't let it wait any longer. And just their dynamic is really something to behold.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so speaking of duo scenes, we do get a scene between Giselle and Monique. They're sort of getting along right now. Monique says Giselle's much better when she's getting steady D. She says power to the D, and I agree with that. I mean, who among us? Who among us?
Like, and then what did Mommy say? Something to the effect of like that she's getting that not just any D, that sanctified D. That was just like, oh my God, the read on this show is just like something second to none. It's something I agree with Mommy. I was like, Giselle's probably much better when she's getting holy D.
Same with that. Same with me too, by the way. Like if I'm getting steady D, I'm a much happier person than when I'm not.
Let it be blessed.
You know, I'm curious to see where this relationship goes, because I saw they were, I think Monique was, or Giselle was mad that Monique said something about the man, and then Monique was mad that Giselle called her husband Big Boy on social media. So I'm like, I'm curious to see where,
really
I feel like all of, I know, I feel like all of these relationships are shifting so rapidly. Even Wendy and Karen, they're not getting along in the episode, but then I saw an interview with Karen before the season started where she said they're just wait and see, they get along well later on. And now I think they're fighting again. And I'm just like salivating over all of it.
Yeah, me too. Because I mean, Karen, what I love about this franchise is that they get into it quickly, right? Mm-hmm. Like they don't, obviously, we can't have a first episode where they're knocked down, drag out. That wouldn't make sense. We have no arch. We don't need to draw out all of season Beverly Hills, but we need a little bit of build up. And I like with season one, episode one, we kind of already got a little dynamic. I mean, Karen told us right off the bat, I know her. We've been to a couple of events. She didn't act like she didn't know her. Mm-hmm. And she said, I wasn't impressed. And I was like, oh. Well, I guess we don't need to ask.
I'm falling in love with Wendy just from her reaction shots at the dinner later in this episode.
I love her.
I'm like, she's the best.
And I am like maybe I would say a 15-minute walk away from the school that she teaches at. And
can you enroll?
Obviously.
How do we enroll?
I really want to. I think I'm not qualified. Like, I don't think I'm qualified because she teaches at Johns Hopkins, which is like one of the best research medical, you know, hospitals and universities ever. And she doesn't teach that, but my God.
She's, you know, she seems like she's got it all. She's beautiful. She's intelligent. She seems like she can read. And then again, those reaction shots. I mean, like, what more can we ask for in a housewife?
Yes. And her kids are gorgeous. Her husband seems gorgeous. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to see what their dynamic is. He's also a lawyer, I read. So I was just like, oh, okay.
Right. You know, we're also getting on Potomac, like a wealthy level of cast member. It seems like on some of the other franchises, we're starting to move away from like the wealth aspect, which is okay. But it is nice to see nice houses. Like, I like looking at the house porn, the real estate porn when I turn on these shows. Like, I don't want to look at Gina's casita.
Yeah, I understand. Listen, I did a breakdown on my podcast this week of the who could possibly be the richest on the Potomac franchise based on their housing values. Because one of the luxuries of living in the area and being here my whole life is I know the housing market in each of their areas.
Like, okay, legitimately, please tell me who is like
okay,
number one.
I will. Number one is Monique. Her house is going to be worth the most. She is in Potomac. She's in that zip code. And her house is also one of the biggest ones, of course, of the cast. But just simply because of where she is, that is a high one. Karen probably paid.
That bird's got a lot of room to fly at Monique's place.
Oh, yeah. The bird is happy. Living the best life at T'Challa. Sure. And then Karen is number two, just because, again, she bought a home in Potomac. And it's definitely going to cost her the most because of it. Giselle's would be number three. She's not in Potomac. She's in a place called Rockville, Maryland, which is actually also insanely wealthy. Like, Potomac's not the wealthiest, it's one of the wealthiest, but it's not the only. There's a few around here, just simply because, you know, the government workers and the senators and all the people, they live, like, spread out. So, but Giselle's knockdown house, like, I hate to say it, but Candace was kind of right. It is $1 million teardown. Like, that is how much, unfortunately, it costs to even buy a teardown in that neighborhood. Wow. It would be about $900,000. You know, Chip and Joanna Gaines said buy the worst house in the best neighborhood, and that's what she did.
She got the
fixer-upper, you know?
Icons, if you're anything like me, you love to spend TV commercial breaks browsing real estate listings. Now, I love watching my favorite shows and also looking up homes, especially the ones that I know that I can't afford. And my favorite app to use is Redfin. When Matt and I were looking for a home, we used the Redfin app to search for homes in the area and within our budget. The Redfin app made it super easy. Now, Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes and sends you personalized recommendations. So finding the home that's perfect for you has never been easier. Plus, if you see something you like, you can book a tour straight from the app. And when you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. And if you're looking to sell, Redfin agents know how to get you the best price possible for your home. That's because they sell twice as many homes as other agents. With the listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin's fees are half of what others often charge, which means you'll have more money to put towards your next home. So Redfin made it so easy to filter out the homes that didn't meet or have the necessities I wanted. I still use it to search for homes close by and in the cities my favorite reality TV stars live. Download the Redfin app to get started. Ever since I saw Clueless, I wanted to have the most amazing wardrobe, and that includes all of the clothes inside the wardrobe closet, and that's why I'm excited to talk to you about Quince. Now, Quince has you covered with truly timeless pieces that never go out of style. You'll have them in your closet forever. Quince has all sorts of must-haves. I'm talking Mongolian cashmere crew neck sweaters from $50. I have a blue cashmere crew neck sweater I got from them that I get so many compliments on all the time. I love it. Plus, iconic 100% leather jackets and versatile flow-knit activewear. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes us savings all over to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes. Love that. Makes you feel good about shopping with Quince. Again, I've gotten a lot of stuff there. Just good quality pieces and a lot of different options if you're looking to upgrade your wardrobe. So indulge in the affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/iconic for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince, Quince.com/iconic to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/iconic. Mani, we have got to talk about Monique and Charisse. So Charisse apparently started these rumors. And the rumor Giselle told us in her confessional was that Monique and the trainer were too close and they were out in public together. Have you seen them out in public together? What do you think?
No, I mean, Monique spends a lot of time in Virginia, and I have wondered a lot why, because she doesn't go to the side of things where I think things could happen. You know, there's like a lot of fun things to do. I've always wondered why she spends so much time out in Virginia. I know they still have their home in Virginia, and her husband, when he was a Redskin, that is where their training camp is. It's in Virginia, but I'm like, girl, he's been retired for a minute. So now I'm curious as to what the allure and the draw is, because for her, that is a trek. It's a bit, it's a bit of a drive to be on the side of where Ashley is, because Ashley's also in Virginia, but it's farther. But I think we might have another situation just like Karen with Mr. Blue Eyes or whatever. And I just wonder about Charisse's MO, because that is someone, I mean, Charisse introduced us to Monique.
Yeah.
And then this is the second time that Charisse has been like, well, you know, they have a certain employee or a contractor or somebody in their circle that they employ that they're spending a lot of time with. And I'm just like, while I don't not buy it, I'm just like, why are we here?
There's also ulterior motives when it's a non-cast member coming in. I mean, I'm sure Charisse is still getting paid, but it's like, these people want the apple or the diamond or the champagne glass. You know, like, they want to be part of the main cast. Anyone would. That's the job.
I just don't understand what Charisse's MO is, and I have not seen Monique out and about with any man, but I have seen her out and about with her husband, so I don't know if that says anything.
Interesting. You know who's not out and about is Ashley, because she's got the postpartum. And I related.
She has a lot going on.
She's got a lot going on. I related to it so hard, though, when she said, what did she say? When she goes outside, she panics. And when I was super depressed, like when I was in sort of my low point, I remember I always used to think of like my safety zones. So the only places mm-hmm. I would feel comfortable going, I was comfortable in my little bedroom apartment, just the one I used to live in, a studio apartment. I was comfortable in that room and at the grocery store. And I remember if friends would ask me to like go to a coffee shop even or something that I just wasn't like a safety zone for me, I would literally mm-hmm. get filled with panic, fear. And that was when I was sort of at my low point. And it just broke my heart. I felt like I related to it. And I want her to get better. But I know that feeling of like, it's not my safety place or it's not a place I'm super comfortable at.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Ashley's incredibly brave. I mean, I chuckled because I'm more so like she has all these things happening with her body parts and talking about her body parts that are keeping her from also, you know, going outside. But, you know, I've never been a mother, but I do have both anxiety and depression. That's something called dysthymia. So, which is a kind of, it's like a double depression where like my baseline is depressed. And then there are days that I try to get over that. And then there are days where it dips so below it that I'm trying to get back to a place of a base of depression. So I too, definitely, I mean, when I walk, I could be in the place that I've been a million times and I will constantly check over my shoulder. It's a lot of anxiety. And it makes me feel like I'm giving myself safety because that's kind of like how anxiety works, right? It's like you think what you're doing is making you safer because you're like, let me keep checking and let me keep Googling and let me keep making sure everything's okay. And really, it's just causing you to be more and more uncomfortable in your own spaces.
I always think of my depression as like a little being inside my head that can convince me of anything. So like it'll convince me that, I don't know, someone's evil or that I'm in a scary place. It can literally convince you of anything. It's a very powerful thing. Depression,
I can't imagine having a kid right now and feeling that. I really feel for her. She's very brave for even, you know,
to do a show, go through postpartum depression. You just had a baby, like, and not only that, but she's
had a milk duct infection.
And then all the shit with the husband. It's like, I mean, it's like a lot. Like, I don't even know how she's doing it.
God bless her, because that's a lot. And that's why it's like, we're really going to have, I watched the very end of the trailer of this first episode, and it tells us like what's going to happen the whole season. And it's slowly becoming clear to me that I think the whole Monique and Candace drama that we were all led to believe is like this big draw of the season, I think it's going to be like maybe 10-15% of the season. Right. I actually think we're going to get a lot of their family dynamics. There's a lot of cheating going around, rumor wise. There's a lot of, you know, Ashley's husband is at it again and making us talk about him. So I'm curious to see.
Can I stop you for a second? We just talked a little bit about mental health, and I'm always so impressed when people are willing and able to open up so much about it. Have you always been comfortable just chatting about it? I mean, we're just sort of meeting, and I'm so impressed that you shared it with me.
Yeah, absolutely. I am a huge proponent about mental health and getting therapy, getting whatever help you need. I've been in therapy. I'm coming up on my 8th year, and I used to judge people who would be in it for really long times. And I realized, you know, life just literally sucks, whether you have something or you don't. There are plenty of times that it doesn't work well for you. And I am a huge proponent of talking to someone. It works for me. I talk to someone because, you know, there's a lot of times that my mental feels like it's a burden, and I'm like, I don't want to bombard my friends and stuff with that. But it really, sometimes all we really even need is someone to say, you're right, that does suck. I'm so sorry that happened to you. And this person, though paid to do it, they're like, it's for them to have no other opinion but yours and to hear you and be like, you're right, that does suck. So whenever they do tell me something like, maybe we could do this or maybe we should try this, I believe them because they're not listening to any other. They're not giving me any other perspective. They're not thinking about what's going on in their life in relation to mine. They're simply just telling me what they think. So I feel like if I remove the stigma from it, from whomever is asking, and if I feel comfortable talking about it, other people will feel comfortable talking about it, or at least feel comfortable having it or dealing with it. So for me, it's not it's a big deal because, but it's such a major part of my life. Like, it's literally what stops me from doing things sometimes. Mm-hmm. So I have to say something. I have an autoimmune disease, so it regularly affects my mental health, and that's kind of the point. And so for me, I don't really have an option to not be, you know, open about it. It's never easy, but I feel like it, you know, if I don't do it, then someone else is not going to, you know, feel comfortable dealing with it for themselves.
Right. The more we all talk about it, the more comfortable everyone feels talking about it. I just think it's
And having it.
Yeah. You also said, like, you just sometimes need someone to say, like, yeah, that sucks what you're going through. And I feel that way too. Even with friends and family, when I'm talking about something, oftentimes you just want someone to say, yeah, it's shitty. What's happening right now is shitty. And you don't want them to say, but, or, and. It's like, yes, you just want them to acknowledge that.
You should really just try to do this. Or you need to change your attitude. It's like, girl, if I could, I would. I wouldn't be talking about this if I could have just changed my attitude. Yeah. Sometimes I can't.
It's hard. Life is hard. Okay, so where are we at here in the episode? So we have a scene with Karen and Candace at the bar. It made me laugh that Karen wanted the truffle fries, and I think they were like, didn't know if they had honey mustard. I don't know, it made me laugh. Like, she's like,
that was hilarious. She was like, well, so what do y'all have here? You don't have any of the things.
Also, Candace was telling Karen, she's like, I want us to be able to start fresh, meaning her and Ashley. And it's just so funny to me on these shows when it's like, these women can do anything to each other. Like, literally, Candace pulled a knife on Ashley and was like, I want to start fresh. You know, it's like, in real life, we would all just not talk to that person again. Like, right. Ever.
But I mean, things can be really well motivated when there's a nice little check involved.
Right. Yeah, she's like, I want us to start fresh. Okay. Juan and Giselle have a little meeting, and they talk about Robin and Juan. What do you make of the relationship with those two? Are you happy they're settling down again?
I'm happy that Robin is happy. I mean, I definitely saw this coming. It's hard for me to hate Juan. I went to his alma mater, their alma mater.
Because he's so beautiful too, right?
Right, but he's like, I've said this, and I had the opportunity, thank God, to say this to Robin. I spent most of my undergrad days getting drunk in front of his jersey, because that is how decorated he is at my school. So his jersey's like hang up in the bars, and it's always been there. So it's hard for me to hate him. So, but then also, I love Robin. I actually think she's hilarious just simply by being there, like by being herself, and her attitude of like not rushing for shit is amazing to me. So I'm happy that she's happy, and if that is what makes her happy, and it seems like this is what we saw, it doesn't feel like it was a rush decision. We saw all last season they were working towards this, and now we're here. So I'm happy for them. I actually think that it's good for the boys and it's good for Robin. If it works for them, then it works for me.
Right. I do feel like the storyline's moving a little slow. I mean, in real life, yeah, I get it. It's how life works. But watching it, I'm sort of like, okay, get married already. Like, I'm done with it.
Yeah. I'm really glad we'll probably see the engagement this season with the non-diamond ring. That's no shade.
Right. The non-diamond ring. No shade.
Yeah. That was an interesting choice. But I want to see why.
Yeah. Okay, we do have a scene with Candace where she's peeing on the stick dramatically. And this felt really staged to me. It actually felt off, because so much of Potomac feels more like we're kind of peeking into their real lives. And so this, you know, I don't know, it just felt a little off to me. But I do
also,
like,
we
Chris.
Know she's not pregnant.
Right. I know. I don't like, you know, I just don't want to see it set up. It's like, why were the cameras there? I don't know. Like, of course, I don't know if I'm making sense. My brain is
no, I totally get it. It's like, okay, we know you're not pregnant, so why are we having this conversation? Did you just need to film at home? Like, I get that they need to do their home scenes, but girl, try hard. Like,
just
this is a try
natural.
Hard. Yeah, because I mean, if they're gonna film at your home, so you're just gonna pee on a stick because you just thought that it would be a thing, but it wasn't, because they had a conversation about it and it seemed like she was like, we're not at that place yet. So then why would you think that you were? Like, I don't know. Yeah. It just felt very inorganic.
Did Christopher come out with that cookbook? Wasn't he going to do a cookbook?
I don't know.
He's always cooking in that kitchen. He needs to get in front of the typewriter.
He's cooking in that kitchen. I would like for him to address, you know, I want to taste these lovely treats that they all said were so delicious. I would love to taste them. I did have the pleasure of going to his quote-unquote restaurant and It was overpriced barbecue, but wow. it was decent. He is not listed anywhere on the website or by name. Do you think he's
bamboozling?
Employees.
Is he bamboozling us? Do you think he can't cook?
I think he might not be the best.
Wow. Wow. Moni, wow. they talk about sex. He wants sex in the morning and she wants sex at night. Tale as old as time. With couples, I think. I did miss something that I want to go back to briefly. There was a sit down between Candace and Wendy where they had lunch. And we were just getting to know Wendy a little bit more, the politics, and Candace said they had politics in common. And I just have to say that Wendy was doing a lot of puns here. And that was like one little moment where I was kind of on the fence about Wendy. I love her. And I'm still very excited about her. But she did a lot of like, I'm a professor and class is always in session and I'm going to read. And you're a librarian the way you're reading. Like she was doing aggressive tagline work or, you know, I worry.
She was trying to get them sound bites, those quick little GIF moments.
Like the Dorinda always does that too. And it's like she wants to put everything on a fucking mug and then sell it on her Instagram. And I get you got to make a dollar or two.
It lets me know Wendy was a fan of the show and she at least watches Housewives. So she wanted to do a quick, you know, little GIF moment that would be memeable. And you know what? I can't, though I don't like it, I can't say I wouldn't do the same thing. That's the problem. I would do all these things. I would be worse. So.
Right. Okay. So the big dinner, Ashley's coming out party, which I thought was a weird choice of words to have. For Ashley's party, considering all of the allegations against her husband. But they had this. Yes. It was like, why did they call it that? I don't know.
Getting out of the house would have been my choice.
Yeah, get out of the house. But also, if I was in that like depressed place, I don't know that I'd want to go to like a cast dinner with everyone and people that I hate.
I would have been like, okay, well, why do we have to invite Candace? I mean, I get it. It was because it was like a group dinner and it's for the show. And
had to get
that's probably
together.
The reason why she went. But okay. And I don't want her there.
And, you know, that was, I know, when Ashley was revealing all of her health issues, that was when we were getting all these reaction shots. And it was just like cracking me up. Like when Ashley was talking about she said, and I quote, surgery on my booty hole. And then she needs Botox in the butt. It was like Wendy's face, then Karen's face. It was just like, it was perfect TV to me. I was laughing so hard. I don't remember a time that I was like laughing that hard, just watching these women react to Ashley. And it almost felt like, I don't know, Ashley knew that she was getting a big reaction out of them. So she just kept going on and like explaining more and more. But it was just cracking me up.
Yeah, no, she's the women's reactions to things are some of the best things that I've ever seen. I mean, I know we're technically past this point, but watching Karen Huger shut the door on the bird with Monique and to tell her, so you're going to bring the bird, but not the baby. And I just, her reaction
Father
was
God
that
in
of,
heaven.
I can see my mom and her and my mom are around the same age. And I was like, this is my mother. If I brought home a bird, she'd be like, what are you doing with a bird at my house? Like, you need to pack it up. So yeah. I love their reactions, watching them react to things. And this was no different. I mean, I would have reacted kind of strangely too. I'm not going to lie.
Someone I don't want anyone bringing
Botox on their booty.
Oh, right. At the dinner table, no less.
Hello, before we even get the salad.
I know. I was just going to say something and I lost my train of thought.
I don't know. People.
It was probably, no, it wasn't your fault. I told you my brain's a little mushy today. I'm not really sure why. I had a little bit of a bad sleep, but, so I'm a little slower than normal, but, anyway, where were we at? Okay. So this dinner leads them to all talk about sex again. And this was another little funny moment too, because Karen mentioned sex and Wendy, she said, hold up, Karen, you still have sex with Ray. And then somebody said, I'm not sure, I wrote this down. Somebody said, was that supposed to be an inner thought? I was like,
I think it was supposed to be an inner thought too. Yeah, of course they still have, she's not dead.
Right. Wendy just
in
let
fact,
it slip.
And you know, the realty, the older you get, typically the old folks home have the largest clients of all the sexual transmitted diseases because they're all getting it on. Like they're all getting it on. Right. And Karen is far from an old folks home. Okay. So she's still young and looking good to me. It's more of if Ray wants to.
Yeah. You know, my grandpa's passed, but before he passed away, he was at a like senior center. And there was a couple that would like do it in public or do it like throughout the public areas of the place. So like we would go there for Sunday dinners and we'd hear about like, you know, grandpa.
Not a Sunday dinner.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't see them doing it, but like everyone would be talking like, yeah, they did it in the laundry room or they fucked in the game room. And it's like couple was like in trouble because they were going around the whole place just doing it everywhere. And I said, God bless them, you know,
praise them or if I should blush. I don't know what to do.
I mean, I would get a little annoyed if I was like one of the other residents there and I walked in, to fold my laundry and then this couple's fucking each other. But you know what? You get it where you get it, I guess.
Honestly. Oh, God bless that staff.
Right. Oh, you know what I was going to say? On something like New York, I know we talked about earlier, it's like Ramona's much older than Leah and it's just like a very big generational divide. But Karen is older than most of the women on Potomac, but it works on Potomac for some reason. And I don't know if it's the grand dame of it all, but it doesn't feel forced to me or I don't know.
Yeah, I think where it ends up being tricky is when like Karen's daughter, at least, like that would most relate to these women. She is younger than the youngest person on the show. And I think that helps where she feels like they're still within reach of her and not so much of her daughter. So she at least doesn't condescend because they're not like 20 somethings. They're at least in their 30s and they have some like level of adulthood to them and like Ashley has a baby, things like that. So it's a little bit more like she can help mentor them, but it doesn't, I mean, to be fair, a lot of what is happening with Ramona is because Ramona's Ramona.
Right.
So, yeah. And Karen is, albeit, you know, a bit of a high horse, but she is at least, it feels approachable. She's more approachable.
Right. Mani, the episode ends with everyone talking about both the rumors with Monique and Charisse. It just sort of setting up a lot of the dynamics. And like I said, there's going to be a lot of different feuds going on. It feels like there's so many layered things happening already, and we're only on episode 2. I'm super excited about the season. How are you feeling about what's ahead?
Oh, I'm the happiest I've ever been. I am looking forward to every single moment. I love having a new franchise. I love having new drama. These are my people. So I'm happy that people are finally on board and that they're really willing to watch. I think it's important to, you know, this is only the second, you know, per woman of color cast that we have. So at least still on the air. And I'm very excited about that. I think that it's time to, you know, give this its real fair shot. And with the quarantine and everything happening, it feels like this is brand new because people don't know a lot about these women. They don't know everything that there is to know about their families because they're technically still raising them. I enjoy getting to experience life through their eyes and while they're doing it too. So I'm here for it.
It seems like Potomac has been able to hide a lot of the plot lines. Like I know the Monique and Candace fight kind of got out, but it still seems like we have so much other stuff going on, which I'm excited about. And I've heard from so many people over quarantine who said, you know, they binged Potomac, or even people who were like, I tried at the beginning, I didn't like it, and then I gave it another go, and they're really into it right now. I don't know how you could watch it. You know, I think people should start at season 1, but I don't know how you can watch season 3, season 4, and not just fall in love with these women and this show. Like, it's so brilliantly produced. Yeah.
It's literally, those two seasons are some of the greatest television I've seen on Bravo, period.
Right. It's just giving us something that the others aren't.
There's one moment in season 4 that it took my breath away, and I was like, I just think we need to finally give this show its just due. You have to watch it, or else you don't love Bravo. And that is where I firmly stand. It is when Ashley told Katie on that beach, you need to fix the hole between your heart instead of the one between your legs. And I just...
Wise words.
It felt like poetry. It was beautiful. I thought, this is art. This is a great show.
Yeah, I mean, I feel there's people just missing out, and I hope they're starting to get more on board. It seems like Potomac is really having like a cultural moment, even just on Twitter. It's like I'm seeing more people tweet about the show and be excited about the show, and so it's just having a moment. And these shows, they ebb and flow, but I'm thrilled, actually, that they pushed back Potomac from the original release date in April when they were going to premiere it. I feel like they made the right decision. It gave people a little bit of a chance to binge it if they hadn't already. And we're like screaming for content now. And it's like, we have something good.
I was against it before, but now that I see there are more people who are watching it and their premiere actually did perform quite well for their premiere episode, it premiered higher in their ratings than most of their last season episodes, which I thought was their best season to date. So I guess it did work itself out. So you are right. And by now I'm enjoying every minute of it. And with Beverly Hills and New York ending, this is all that we have left. So if you want to watch,
are you scared?
I'm
a little bit scared.
Yeah. I'm scared as hell. I'm not going to lie. I'm like, I don't know. Because what do we know? Is like the Dallas and OC are currently filming. I'm just like, okay.
I don't even want those anyway, outside of a pandemic.
Don't know. But I don't know if those were the ones that I wanted to risk their lives or the lives of other people to give me content. I think I didn't want that. So
I don't know. I always loved Dallas until last season, and then they lost me. And then Orange County.
Yeah, that was hard.
I sort of feel like I might give up Orange County. Like, I don't know that I can watch. I don't know. We'll see I'll probably change my mind. But I was literally thinking.
Personal reasons as to why I probably won't watch it. And I try to cover everything for, you know, the podcast. But Orange County feels like it's going to be almost too much of a dig for me, to the point where it's going to cause me some like mental stress. Right. And I had to give up Vanderpump Rules for the same reason. So
yeah, you got to say goodbye, I think. Sometimes it's hard to say goodbye.
And it's time.
I know. I've been thinking about what I'm going to cover because I want to do two episodes a week. So I was asking some people, you know, what to cover on this podcast. And I'm thinking about maybe going to some other show. I don't know what, because I'll have to wait until Beverly Hills and New York are over. But I'm kind of thinking maybe I'll switch channels. Maybe I'll cover, I don't know, something else.
Yeah, same. I've been like, because people have been telling me that they wanted, I'm like a huge Selling Sunset fan. And though it's like so dramatic, I love it. And the new season just dropped. And I am just like, should I be doing bonuses of this? Should I switch gears? Should we all go in on it together? Like maybe it's like a little club or something that started. But I think, you know, we all watch other stuff anyway, so maybe it's worth it.
Yeah, I mean, Selling Sunset, I'm so excited. It just dropped. As of this recording, it dropped today.
Yes.
And that's what I'm doing tonight. And I think
I have plans. I'm getting food. I have my food order. It's ready. I set it for tomorrow. It's coming. I'm going to do a nice little walk. I'm going to clean my house. I'm going to luxuriate and watch that entire season on a binge, like the whole thing, and have a great time.
A little self-care. There's also a great documentary. Speaking of things I'm going to watch this weekend, I just want to let everyone know there's a great documentary called Howard on Disney Plus about Howard Ashman, who he passed away from AIDS, and he created a lot of the most amazing Disney songs that still live on to this day. And that's on Disney Plus this weekend. I also want to mention that I watched a movie called Host. I think it was called Host. And it was like under an hour. And it's this horror movie that they shot over Zoom, which sounds sort of like stupid, but it was really scary. I watched it last night. If anyone's looking for like a good little horror movie, there's two movies called Host that came out in 2020. But this is the one that's like under an hour on Zoom. And it's like fucked up. But it'll scare you. It gave me a little bit of nightmares. Ooh. That's why I didn't sleep that great last night, Monty.
My goodness. Well, I guess it did its job. It's proof that it can.
So tell me about your podcast. Tell listeners where they can find you, all of that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I have a show called Mixing with Monty. As you said, it is available anywhere you listen to this podcast as well. I cover your favorite Bravo shows and talk some other hot topics and stuff. The kind of the twist is that it's coming from the perspective of a Black woman. I can't hide it. It's who I am, and it's how I see the world, and I see the world a little differently sometimes than of the women who were on my screen, but that's never shied me away from wanting to watch those shows. And it's kind of where I get, you know, on my soapbox of like, you can watch shows about women and people that don't relate to you or that you don't think you look like or whatever, because listen, I do it every day. So I try to focus on the characters and the plot and get into, you know, what I think and kind of dissect it a little bit and figure out why this is happening without it being too serious. The whole purpose is do other stuff, maybe get a little drink or something while you listen. And because 9 times out of 10, that's what I did to do it.
Do you drink when you record? Do you have a little
cocktail? I surely do. Yes, yeah. I do. I have a little sippy sip, especially when I have someone come on. I like a nice bubble. I like a champagne, so I have that. And, mm-hmm. you know, I have a good time, and I like to keep it shady but never Haiti. Right. I like to have fun, but, you know, things that we're all thinking and saying. And, of course, you can locate that by just searching Mixing with Monie, and on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook at Mixing with Monie, MixingWithMani.
And it is so nice to get different perspectives on these shows. It's like,
yeah,
different opinions. I think there's a lot of us that recap these shows and talk about Bravo and stuff. But, you know, it's good to hop around and see what you like and try new shows and all of that. And so I encourage everyone to go subscribe, go rate and review, listen to Mixing with Monie. And did you mention your social media too?
Yeah, it's pretty much all the same at Mixing with Monie.
Monie, this was such a delight. Thank you so much for coming on Everything Iconic. I'm so glad we got to do this.
Iconic.
Well, I want to thank everyone for listening. Please find me on social media at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter and Instagram. And if you want to support Everything Iconic, you can go to the Patreon page, which is patreon.com/everythingiconic. And if you donate $4 more per month, you get access to the bonus episodes. I'm doing one a month, and I'm currently recapping Sex and the City from the beginning. But there's other, I recapped the first episode of The Real Housewives of Potomac, the pilot, and all sorts of other random episodes on there. So check that out if you want to support the show. And if you want any of the Everything Iconic merch, you can go to everythingiconic.store, t-shirts, books, wine glasses, all sorts of stuff. So that is that. Monie, thank you, thank you, thank you, and hopefully
thank
we'll get to do this again
me.
Soon.
Yes, please, absolutely. There's no turning back.